If you could, before you, excuse me, if you open your Bibles up, just be there for a minute in Revelation 21, and then Romans 8, Revelation 21, and then Romans 8, and then 1 Peter 1, I know I'm giving a lot, and Ephesians 2, and that's where we're going to start, in Revelation 21, Romans 8, 1 Peter 1. But before we do, I just want to realize and go say some things that, of course, you know that are common sense but need to be said. And you know what? Guess what? We're all going to die. We're all going to die, all of us. It is, the Bible tells us it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. Each and every one of us have an appointment of death. We are appointed, have an appointment, just like you have a doctor's appointment someday or you have an appointment before the judge. But we're all going to die, and after that, we're all going to be judged. Will you please listen? Pay attention, because it's important. We are all going to die, and we are all going to be judged. That's a fact. So therefore, you need to know some things, and we all have an appointment that cannot be broken. We make appointments at doctors, we break them. We make an appointment at dentists, we break them. We can make an appointment somewhere, we can say, I can't make it today. And sometimes we make those appointments, not they're not made for us, but there's one appointment that God is making for us that we cannot ever break. We're going to have it. So I want you to know it. I want you to understand it. And I want you to be ready for it, because we're all going to die and we're all going to have an appointment to stand before the Lord. Each and every one of us. So my appointment that I had to stand before the Lord one day, I had an appointment that I was going to die. I still am. I had an appointment that I'm going to stand before the Lord and He's going to judge me for everything I've ever done. It's called the great white throne of judgment. And that's a scary, horrible place, because nobody gets out of that judgment unscathed. Everyone will be, the books will be opened, and every single person will be judged for everything they ever did, everything they ever thought, or even the intents of their heart, because all truth about you, who you really are, will be manifest to everyone. You will know without a shadow of a doubt that I am guilty. I do deserve hell. And you will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever, where the trash heap of souls go. And that was my appointment, but my appointment changed one day. And what happened was, not only did it change, but it got changed. Now I have a new time and I have a new place. You know why? Because I became, at one point, a new man. I was the old person that I was. I had an appointment unto death and unto judgment. But then I met this Jesus that we talked about. I met Him. He met me, I should say. And it changed my life forever. He changed me. And in doing so, He changed my appointment. Now, I will die someday. And someday I might not die natural causes. I might die because He comes and just changes His mortal body and gives me immortality. But either way, this body's got to be changed in death or in life. But I'm going to stand before Him one day, not at the great white throne of judgment where I'll be cast into hell, but because I received Him and believed in Him, I became one of His. I became His. He owns me now. I'm going to stand before Him at a place called the judgment seat of Christ. So He's going to judge all of His own, not in their sins, because their sins were already judged on the cross. He took our judgment away. Do you understand that? He took the law away, so no, we have no law. Without the law, there is no breaking of the law. So you cannot sin when there's no law. Let that sink in. Let it sink. You cannot sin when there is no law. You can do things that when you were under the law, they were sin. When the law is taken away, you do the same thing. It's not sin anymore because the law is gone. Let that sink in. Jesus took the law away. Now what He's done for those that receive Him, He's given them a spiritual law in their hearts. And that is called your conscience. Amen. And He tells you what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what's right, what's wrong. Can I get an amen? Now you are a law unto yourself. You become your own law. You know what you ought to do. You know what you ought not to do. Amen? Amen? You don't need a mommy and a daddy to hold your hands. You don't need a preacher to tell you. You don't even need God to tell you, even though He is the one telling you. You know what to do. Amen. And therefore, when you stand before the Lord after you die, he's going to judge you for all those things that you knew what to do and yet you didn't do them. The things you knew to do right and you did them, he's going to reward you for. The things that you did that knew to do right and you didn't do them, you don't get any rewards for them. You're just going to get shame. You're just going to be like, no one's been there. It just gives us what the Bible says. His eyes are going to be eyes of fire and everything's going to be burned up of all the things that didn't matter in your life. And by the time you get in front of him, he's going to give you a crown of your reward. Some of you may not get a crown. Some of you might not get rewards. And I hope and pray that is never, ever the case. Because you want that to be an award ceremony, a day where everybody's clapping and cheering because you did what the Spirit inside of you told you to do. Loving God, loving one another, taking care of people, caring about others, being faithful, giving. You know what I mean? Stuff that we know to do. So that said, that not only did my appointment change, but I want to know, but did your appointment change? Did you? I know my appointment's changed. Amen? And therefore, I know these things, and the Spirit inside tells me, so I'm getting ready for that day, and I'm doing the best I can. I'm just trying. Amen? And that's all God asks you to do is you try and he'll help you. You try and he'll be there to help you through it. Amen? And it's pretty simple. But anyway, so I was on my way just like you in the appointment to meet God alone and to be judged for all my sins. I was a liar. I was a thief. I was disobedient. I was covetous. And yes, even a murderer and an adulterer and a blasphemer according to Christ and his spiritual laws. I was an idolater. I was a Sabbath breaker. I was a lover of my own self more than a lover of God. And I had broken every single commandment there was, not just once, but times, 10 times and 10 times and 10 times over and over in my life. And I deserved what I was going to get. You understand that? But then came a day where I heard the gospel, the good news that Jesus came to save me from all that. Amen. And I believed it, and I called upon him, and I received it. And that good news that was the truth that I was going to hell and going to meet God in a bad way, now I realize that Jesus, he took everything, and he took the judgment, he did it all, and he saved me. And from that moment on, I was a changed person. And I had siren. I thought it was a baby crying. And from that moment on, I had a whole new life. And I want to talk to you about why that kind of is and what the Bible teaches us about. And I want you to look in Revelation chapter 21 for the first verse we're going to look at. And I know you're there because you've been waiting long enough. But if you look in verse, 7 with me, 21:7, it says, he that overcometh shall inherit what? And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. See, then I want to talk to you about inheritance and things that you're going to inherit. We know inheritance as, you know, when you die, you leave a will, last will and testament. And if you got anything to leave, you leave it to somebody. Amen? And they, when you die, they get the letter and they read the bill and they say, all this goes to so-and-so. So if you don't have anyone to give it to, you can leave it to me. Amen? No. Leave it to the church so the church can continue on after our demise. Amen? But anyway, it says that he that overcomes shall inherit all things. I want to talk to you about this, my inheritance, what my inheritance was. I was to inherit death. I was to inherit judgment. I was to inherit the wrath and judgment of God because that was my inheritance left to me from my forefather, Adam. Because of his sin, that was my inheritance, Zach. And that's what I want to talk to you about. But what happened was, is when I met Jesus, I became a new person, a new creature, and now I belong to him. And now I receive his inheritance. See, my first inheritance, I was inheriting from my earthly father, or my earthly parents, or my earthly beginning. And in my being born again, as the Bible tells us, when I received Christ, I received my old person that deserved it. I died when he died. I was buried when he was buried. And I descended into hell when he went into hell. That's what God says. He infers me on him, gives me a gift of the cross and the salvation. I've accepted that. God said, now, when he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. When he went to hell, you went to hell. And when he resurrected, now you resurrect. And it's a new you and a new person. Because of that new you, now my inheritance is in Christ Jesus now. Amen. And everything that he tells me I'm going to inherit is what I'm going to get. And what you're going to get. And I just want to show you some of these verses because it's really neat when you see that you're getting an inheritance. We've never had anyone rich in our family. Our whole family since I've ever known, we've been poor. My oldest son, Michael, my first son, Michael, was the very first person in all of our family ever to go to college. We never had any money. Nobody's ever had a rich uncle. Nobody's had a rich aunt. We know the biggest inheritance anyone's ever got was $20,000. You know what I mean? Like, and that was gone in, 2 weeks? You know, it's like, but there are people out there got money. And when they die, someone's going to get a big loaf of it. You know what I mean? It's like, wow. So it would be pretty exciting knowing you got a dad or an aunt or an uncle, Louie, you know, who's got 20 million bucks and you know that he's got you on the list. You know what I mean? It's like a little excitement thinking about it. Yeah, poor Uncle Louie's got to die for you to get it. But you know what? You still get a little excitement thinking about Uncle Louie's. I'm on his list. I'm on his inheritance. And when he dies, I'm going to get $20 million. You know what I mean? Like, that's got to give you a little lift. It's got to give you a little bit like, hey, that's pretty cool. Can I get an amen? Amen. Well, God is telling us in his word, and we're going to see what we're going to inherit it. And then we get it because of our inheritance through Jesus Christ. And that, because I believe the scriptures and I know the scriptures, it gives me a way better lift than 20 mil. You know what I mean? It gives me a way better lift because I know that I know that I know that it's really coming and I've already received some of it already. Amen? I want you to look at me, if you would, in Romans chapter 8. And there's a reason for everything, as we know. In Romans chapter 8, if you look in verse 16, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, what? That we are. So that's the thing is, you have to realize what inheritance you're getting. Because there's so many people, Zach, that'll be in church for the rest of their lives, and they won't inherit the things that Christ said you're going to inherit, because they never really had Christ. They had a religion, they had they were deceived, they were lied to, whatever it is. And so that's why I said the Spirit of God, of Christ, will testify in your spirit that you do belong to God. That's a wonderful thing. Look in the next verse. It says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. He tells us that if you really are Christ's, and I want you all to think about that. When did you become Christ's? Because if you haven't become Christ yet, you're still going to get your inheritance from Adam. And that means judgment. Do you understand that? You're going to get what you deserve. That's why we say, how do you know I'm better than I deserve? But anyway, he says that the Spirit will testify inside of you that you are his. And if you are his, then you are an heir of God himself. And a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So everything that Jesus has, he has come that we might receive what he wants to give us as our Father and Creator and everything else. Look at maybe what in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. You there? It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You have an inheritance of God. And what did we just read, Raven? That our inheritance is of God. And we are joint heirs with God's Son. Because we are now, and we'll look at it a little further, we are now adopted and considered in the children also of God. And if we are children of God, we are the heirs of God, just like Christ is the heir of all things. And you'll see in a little bit how what Christ did and how he came to this earth, how he now, all power is given unto him. Everything the Father is, has, and ever could be, is given to his Son. Do you understand that? Now we, as communion with Christ. We're believers and receive Christ. He now, because he's awesome, it will give us joint heir with everything that he has. He's going to share it with us. That's our inheritance. And when you really get let that sink in and you really realize what it is that you're going to get, when you think life is bad, think about how rich you really are. When you think about life is sad and tough, think about what God has in store for you. It's not pie in the sky. It's real, honest to goodness faith. Amen. It says an inheritance incorruptible. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. I'm here to tell you right now, I hope and pray God will reveal to you the things that are really going to be yours. Look in Ephesians chapter 2 with me. Come on in, guys. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2, and then we're going to go to Hebrews 9. Ephesians chapter 2, look in verse 1, or one and two. It says, and you has he quickened, means made alive, who were dead in your trespasses and your sins. You see, that was your inheritance, your sins. Amen. You inherited it from your father. You got that? You got it? And because of that, no fault of your own either. Because of that, your inheritance is death and judgment. But look what it says. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You know you did. According to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of, say it, disobedience. How do I know that I belong to God? Because I have the spirit of Christ, which is a spirit of I want to obey God. Christ had the spirit in him, and he obeyed everything the Father told him to do. Tells us in Philippians chapter 2, it says, let this mind be also in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's how obedient he was. And therefore, because he was obedient to the Father, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and in earth shall bow before him. Amen. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amen. And Jesus says, I have all power and now you are mine. And I'm going to share my inheritance with you. That's pretty awesome when you really think about it. Amen. I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 9 with me. Hebrews 9, you there? Let me see where I want to start. All right, let's start in verse 15. It says, and for this cause, he, that means Christ, is the mediator of the New Testament. That by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also, of necessity, be the death of a testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator lives. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. He's talking about the first covenant. And he says, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and of water and of scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you. So the people in the first testament were enjoined to God by the word of God, by the law of God. They were enjoined to that law. So whatever the law said, that was enjoined to them. It says, verse 21, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with the hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, for you, for me. It says, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that looked for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It tells us that the Old Testament was dedicated by blood. The New Testament that we're in, the New Testament church that we're in, the New Testament covenant that we're in, was dedicated with blood also, the blood of God's own Son. And therefore, when we have communion, he says, take, drink, this is the blood of the New Testament that is in me. And we take that into us, and we become dedicated one with Christ, and one with his blood, and one with his body. And you know what it was? They were enjoined to a law. We are enjoined to God. And God is good, and God is merciful, and God is kind, and God is long-suffering, and God is gentle, and God is amazing, and he's powerful, and he's glorious. And I and all those that are enjoined in Christ are enjoined to that. And because he's so good, even when we feel we don't deserve it, it has nothing to do with what you deserve. It has what to do is who you trusted and believed in. And because that person that you trusted and believed in not only was the Son of God, but he was God incarnate flesh. And God sees those that believe in him and call upon him because they know I'm lost. I'm undone. I don't deserve heaven. I only deserve hell because of my sins. I don't want to go to hell ever. And God, I believe that you love me enough to take hell for me, to take the sacrifice. And now I open my heart to you, Jesus. Will you save me? And he comes in and he joins you and you become one with him. And you become now a joint heir with him. It's amazing what God has done. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, love that whosoever, anybody, whosoever believeth in him should not perish judgment, hell, but have everlasting life. John 1:9, look over there in John 1:9. It tells us I just love John 1. John 1 is probably one of my favorite books in the Bible. But in John, the book of John, verse 9, it says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That means there's no excuse for you to say, I didn't know. There's no excuse for you to say, I didn't believe because I didn't know. You do know. God's given you a light inside of you, a thing called a conscience that you know. When you hear the gospel and you hear the truth of the word of God, something inside of you says it's true. And because you know it's true, if you won't receive it, God at judgment, he's going to show you, you knew my son was given for you. You knew that he died and suffered just for you. You even knew the promises that I was going to give you, but you didn't believe me. I'll tell you what's a very sad thing. Look, continue on if you would. It says in verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came into his own and his own believed him not. But, this is where we come in, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor even the will of man, but born of God. When I got saved, when I received Christ, Zach, I got a whole new appointment. I'm going to meet my Lord and my Savior because he's my Lord and my Savior. Amen. I want you to look at me in 1 Thessalonians. If you want to see John 3, since you're there, you can look right over. And this is why he says to us in verse 3:3, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Why? Because if you're not born again, you're still under the inheritance of your father, which is Adam, and which is also Satan, walking according to the power of darkness, according to the spirit of the children of disobedience. And you're going to get what you deserve. Amen. And he says in verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, where it wants to go, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell from whence it cometh and whither it goes. It is so is everyone that is born in the spirit." You can't will yourself to be born. You can't make yourself born again. Only the spirit can do that when you are believing the truth that you need to be born again. And that's an honest heart, and God sees that. Why don't you turn to me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. We'll get into the inheritance in a minute. 1 Thessalonians 5, and then we're going to Galatians 4. It says in verse 9, it says, "For God has not appointed us to wrath." When you get saved from a lot of things, man, a lot. One thing you get saved from that's just probably the greatest of all is from the wrath of God. It says, "You're not appointed under wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." That's why it says, "Wherever comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you do." Tell everyone when you get down, don't worry, you got inheritance coming. Jesus, when he walked on this earth, he had an inheritance coming, but he didn't have the inheritance yet. He had to live in a tent. He had to live on the ground. He didn't have a wife, a family, a children. He suffered. He cared about others. He poured his life out for others. And it might think like, oh, poor Jesus. You know what I mean? Jesus knew what his inheritance was going to be. He knew what he was going to get. That's what enabled him to go through the cross. It enabled him to go through the persecutions and the sufferings, because he knew what was on the other side. And that's what we got to do. We got to know what's on the other side. And that faith that we're saying we have has got to get us through whatever trial, whatever temptation, whatever you're going through. We got to believe, amen, that when we get through it, we're going to receive the inheritance as he did. It's going to be so amazing. Better than 10, 20, or 30 million, trust me. It's going to be incredible. And when you get there, you're going to know it was so worth it all. But while we're here, we're under attack and under oppression, and we're under the temptations of Satan and the powers of this world to not believe and get down and don't believe it. If you'll just believe, it'll get you through, because you know what's on the other side. Just keep digging. Just keep walking. Just keep going. It's not in vain. I can't wait to one day we're going to see him face to face. One day, amen? And he's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Look in Galatians chapter 4 with me. And then we're going to Luke 22. Galatians chapter 4. Are you all there? Look in verse 1. It says, "Now I say..." I'll give you a second. Hi, Don. Just pay attention to what it says. "Now I say that an heir," that's us, I hope it's you, "as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." You know, let that sink in. Even though you're an heir of all that God has to give you, while you're still a child, it's like you don't have any rights or any inheritance at all. Look what it says. "Even though you are Lord of all." It says, "but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive, look at it, church, the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, read this with me, an heir of God through Christ. I just want you to realize we have an inheritance coming. And Jesus, being a legal heir and a legal right to this earth and to human beings, because he was one, he had a testament, a will and testament, if you will. And this, in this will and testament, if you will, was the things we're reading, that whosoever will believe in him and receive him, he's going to give them in his will everything that he has. Amen. But the will, the tester has to die for that will to be in force. You understand? That's why he had to die. Because if he was still on this earth, everything would be given to him and we wouldn't have any rights to it yet. But because he died and he gave us his last will and testament, it's called the New Testament in my blood, the New Testament in my body. It's called the New Testament church. We are the body of Christ Jesus himself. And we will get, you will get, you say, I don't deserve it. None of us do. You say, well, I don't think I can earn anything. None of us can. It all has to do with your relationship with him. Amen. Now. Amen. Just loving him, thanking him, being grateful. Amen. And you know, he gives us his Spirit to help us to be grateful. He gives us his Spirit inside of us crying out, Father, I don't want to sin. Father, I love you. I want to be good. Because it's not about what you're doing. It's about who you are. And if you are a son, if you are a daughter and child of God, that Spirit inside of you is telling you, you belong to me. Amen. And eventually, as time goes by, we grow and we get out of the childhood phase and we start to realize who we are and we start to believe that what's coming our way. Amen. I want you to look in Luke 22 real quick. And I'll be done in a minute or two. In Luke chapter 22, verse 29, Jesus said this to his apostles. He said this to his disciples. He said, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me. When we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here in this earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus said, as God has appointed me to have the kingdom of this earth, I appoint that kingdom to you. And when I rule, you're going to rule. Where I am, you're going to be. What I have, I'm going to give to you. And this is a real kingdom that for since the beginning of the New Testament church, people have prayed everywhere, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done here in this earth as it is in heaven. And that's what it is. The kingdom is coming and it's getting closer now than it's ever been. Don't let your faith go down. Let your faith go up. Don't look on the things of this earth and look on the waves and the troubles. Look on up and look, see what's coming your way. Because as he comes down, your inheritance is given. I'll tell you right now, it's exciting to know that you are richer than Elon Musk. You are so rich with power and glory because Christ, I know you don't deserve it. Isn't that the great thing? It's called grace. I know you can't even earn it. Isn't that the great thing? He just gives it to you. Not because you're good, because you're his son and daughter. He's so wealthy, he owns everything. And he's got a lot to give on his will. And he gives every single child of his an equal share. Some are going to get more than others because he told us, he said, I've given some five and I've given some two and I've given some one according to your abilities. And he's going to come and he's going to say, what have you done with the five? And you're going to say, look, you gave me five. I made five. Well done. Be ruler over 10 cities. What about you? Well, I gave you two little things. What'd you do with those two? Well, you gave me two little things and I made two little things. Great job. Amen. Here's be ruler over 5 cities. Hey, you, I gave you one little thing. What'd you do with it? I was afraid. So I didn't tell anybody about anything. I didn't do anything with it. Here, you can have it back. And he's going to say, you wicked, slothful servant. And he says that he binds them hand and feet, and they get cast into the, they get what they deserve. All he asks us to do, he's given us billions of dollars, trillions of dollars in wealth, in riches. He says, share it with someone. That's all he asks. Share everything. I've given you everything. Share it. And if you can't share it, you're wicked and slothful and actually evil, because people are dying and going to hell because you won't tell them. It's pretty sad, isn't it? It's all he asks us to do is tell people about me. I saved you from hell. You're going to heaven. You're going to inherit everything I have. Isn't that great? And you should go, woohoo! You should say, like, thank you, Jesus. Problem is, people don't really believe it. And when you do start to believe it, and when your faith does grow, and you actually get a hold of this, it's going to do something to you. You're going to get a little excited. You're going to get a little pepper in your stepper, amen? You're going to get a little shout in your song. You're going to be singing all day long. You're going to be trying to tell everybody, here, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. Christmas is coming. Guess what Christmas is all about? Jesus was born. The angels showed up, and they all showed up, and they shouted, hallelujah, hallelujah. Peace on earth, goodwill to man, Jesus is born. And we're going to celebrate in a little bit, and you better open that mouth of yours for Jesus, amen? Amen. If you even have him. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll finish. I'll get there someday. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also are living stones. You are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to do what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believes on him shall not be confounded. But unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Unto them. Are you the them? Or are you the his? Are you the true believers in Christ Jesus, your Lord? Or are you the them that are disobedient? He goes on to say, and I love this verse in verse 9, but you are chosen, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In time past, which were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Amen. There's a lot to learn, but one thing that I have learned is that when I got saved, I became a different person. I cared more about people. I cared about God. I cared about the church. I cared about the Bible. My cares and desires that were this way are now this way. And in doing that, that was all the spirit that was in me. And that spirit cries out, Abba, Father, because I long for him and I cry out to him and I want to be good. Doesn't mean I am, but I want to be. Doesn't mean I get there all the time, but every once in a while I'll do something where I'm like, praise God, and then I'll mess up. But the thing is what I want in my heart more than anything is to see God, to be with God, and to hear God say, well done, son, good, faithful servant. And that's what he wants for all of us. And when you realize, and we'll get into it next week, what the inheritance actually is, some of the things, I think it might blow your mind a little bit, because it blows my mind. And I want to see, like, King Bob. You know what I mean? King Bob over there, like on the Minions, you know, there was King Bob. I want to see him rule and reign. I want to see Lord King John. You know what I mean? I know, exactly, right? It's like, I want to see Marcus the Great ruling over Philadelphia. I want to see what God's going to do with Heather. You know what I mean? Like, Queen Heather, ruler of all, you know, Eastern Europe. I'm just saying, it's like, when you think about it, it sounds, yeah, right. And that's why the devil will use the yeah, rights to make you not believe. And God's going, yeah, right. It's true. It's coming. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God in heaven, our gracious, gracious, amazing Father, we are so grateful for Jesus. Without him, we have no hope. Without him, we're lost. Without him, we just have sin in us that's going to be judged by you, the almighty judge of all things. But we thank you for Jesus, that you sent him for us, the whole world, that whosoever, and that's us. And we call upon him, and we believe in him, and we receive him, and we thank you for the salvation that is in him. We thank you for the New Testament in his blood that we're even going to have tonight at the Lord's Supper. Lord, we're going to commune with the body and the blood. And in that New Testament that's in his blood, we receive heirs. We're heirs, joint heirs with you. Oh, God, help us to be like you. I don't want to be like me. I want to be like you. This world needs you, Jesus. It doesn't need me. It needs you. And I just pray, help each and every one of us to be what you want us to be. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all you've done, all that you're doing right now, and all you're going to do soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Church will start in, 9 minutes.